Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. Today's program is very special. Why? Because my dad and I actually took the studio over to have a one-on-one conversation on the topic of gratitude. Hear this. The Roman philosopher Cicero once said, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of the virtues, but the parent of all the others." As you're about to hear as I talk with my dad, who's my best friend, a wonderful encourager, and a very positive person, the mere act of giving thanks can alter a person's mood and mental health for the better. It can also help us heal old wounds. My friends, you're going to love this one. So be encouraged, be grateful, and discover more right now. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Dad, for you, we're in a very special week. It's Thanksgiving week. Has always been one of your favorite holidays. It's been one of our family's favorite holidays. But also up front, I wanted to dive into, you always choose a word of the year. I do as well. My word of the year was discipline. Your word this year has been that of gratitude. Great and fitting word going into this week. I'm interested, why'd you choose that word specifically? But also, what are some of the lessons that you've learned as you've carried that word throughout the year?
Our buddy John Gordon, he always challenges people to have a word for the year.
Yep.
And I took John up on that last time I talked with him. And I chose gratitude because I interviewed a guy named Bob Emmons back a couple of years ago around Thanksgiving. And Bob had done a bunch of research on the word gratitude, a work around gratitude. And what he found was it actually was mind-altering. In other words, if you learn to say thank you and be grateful for things in life, he said it could rewire your brain. Mm. It could change your perspective on things. And I got to thinking, you know what? I'm going to practice it for a year. I'm going to say I'm grateful every day of the year. Mm. And it became a habit that was moving for me. Then it took me back to, you talk about Thanksgiving being one of my favorite holidays. When I was a kid, I don't know if you ever told you this, but when we were young, we didn't have much.
Yeah.
And my dad was a pastor, as you know, Papa C. And what the people would do on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was what was called in the rural country churches a pounding. A pounding was when people in the church would bring a lot of food and give it to the pastor on the day before Thanksgiving. They would bring pie and ham and all kinds of goodies, bread, everything, and stack it up on the ping pong table on the lower floor of the Ansonville Church.
Wow.
And I would sneak in there to see what was coming in for Thanksgiving. But I learned to say thank you because that meant so much.
Being in the mental health field, obviously, Dad, being the president here of the American Association of Christian Counselors, being a leader in this space, I'm interested in knowing kind of the benefits and the implications of what gratitude can do and how it can affect positively our mental health. Because I think when we're going through challenges and we're going through deep waters and valley seasons, it's easy to look intrinsic and it's easy to make things all about me, woe is me type of mindset. But how do we get outside of ourselves and what can happen when we actually express our thanks and gratitude to God and to others?
I find it fascinating. The Apostle Paul, when he talks about anxiety, what does he go to in Philippians 4? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Even when it feels like all the wheels are coming off on the bus, when life's not the way it's supposed to be, what does he do? He challenges you to press in, develop that mindset or that perspective that God is in the midst of it all, that he's a good God, and that you can pray to him even in the midst of darkness, when, again, life's not the way it's supposed to be. And if you do it in a spirit of gratefulness, saying, thank you, God, there's always something to be thankful for.
That's right.
If you can do that, it'll change things, or it'll begin to change things. It begins to rewire you. And I think that's the thing that allows us then to calm down in the midst of insanity.
Yeah.
It's like somebody being on a field playing a game. If you're out there and you can say, thank you, God, even if things aren't going your way, thank you, God, for the privilege I have of stepping up or getting to play on this field today. And then remind yourself you're out there and that you can play in that moment. It'll change the way you approach the game. Same thing in life itself. When you can learn to say thank you, God, thank you, or say thank you to someone else.
That's right.
That begins to do this, calm everything.
We start to see things through a different perspective because, like you said, gratitude, it really can change and affect in a positive manner everything else that's going on in our lives. And that's such a blessing. What I'm interested in today, obviously, and kind of focusing in on this idea of giving thanks, something that you've shared several times, not just here at our office parties and different things like that, but also within our family celebrations around the Thanksgiving table. You kind of have formed and developed, or maybe seen, I don't know whether you came up with this or not, but it's an acronym that you've developed for the word thanks. And it all begins with that first, the T, which stands for what you call traditions. I love just the idea of this, the family memories. Like you said, we gather, we have a big family, we gather around the dinner table, typically the night before Thanksgiving on the Wednesday night, and then we all have the tradition of going up and hunting all of us guys over the Thanksgiving weekend, opening day of rifle season in Pennsylvania is like a national holiday. Dad, speak to the importance of traditions, and what were some of your favorite traditions growing up too?
I think patterns or rhythms in life are important. When you begin to put in place things that build or wire life together, wire people together, you begin to see the significance of them. When people sit back and say, do you remember when? You see, if you do those things repeatedly that bring joy or bring some type of connectivity, it gives you life. I believe with all my heart that families often lose their rhythms. Families often lose their traditions. That's a big mistake. What you should do, by the way, if some things wear out, we know that, put in place then new traditions.
Don't go
without them, because it's glue. It's connectivity. It does this together.
Right.
So for us, I mean, I think about what do people do around Thanksgiving? Man, they have dinner together.
That's right.
They set it up. They typically eat the same things.
Yep.
I don't like turkey. You know that. I hate turkey. I like ham. But what we do during those times, we watch a little football. We used to quote, you know, and when everybody got together, we'd go down in the gym and see who could throw up the most weight.
Come on.
We started doing those kind of things. That's the kind of stuff, by the way, that develops patterns. And people begin to remember these rituals, these positive habits, if you will.
Yeah.
Don't lose your traditions. What are you doing this Thanksgiving? What are you doing this holiday season that puts in place things that people will hold on to and remember?
You always say traditions are the glue that hold families together. Speak to that for a sec. You said that people eat around the dinner table, especially around this time. I know you've identified several benefits of eating around the table and how significant that can be for families, especially for the connectivity with our kids. Why is eating around the dinner table so significant?
Yeah, it's not about food.
Yep.
Obviously, I like food.
Me too.
Yeah. But it's really about what happens at the table.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like when you talk about going up to hunting camp. Yeah, it's about hunting, but not really. It's not really about hunting.
Yeah.
And so families that eat together, families that play together, families that pray together, stay together type thing.
That's good. Dad, do you remember, speaking of traditions, we mentioned that we always eat dinner together, our whole family. It's not just immediate family, it's extended family, it's aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, I mean second cousins, everybody's around the dinner table, and it is a potluck dinner, it is a free-for-all, right? It's a lot of fun, but a couple years back, this is several years back now, when we were up in Dubois, Pennsylvania at Aunt Tootie and Uncle Chuck's house, and a couple shout outs to our cousins, Andrew and Ryan, who left us a memory for the making.
Yes.
When literally we were out playing kickball as kids, all the adults were inside the house, and I'll never forget, you know, I maybe probably just kicked a home run or something. I'm just going to say that. But I touched home plate and I heard the sound of puking because all of the adults were out on the deck throwing up everything in their guts out there because my brilliant cousins, Ryan and Andrew, decided to break into my Uncle Chuck, who was a former state trooper, his pepper spray and sprayed it all throughout the house. Do you remember that? Were you throwing up?
No, I was outside.
You were outside. That's a good thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. That didn't go over too well. Anyway, yeah, those kind of things only happen.
Yeah.
And those kind of memories only happen if you make them happen.
That's right.
If you're there, if you're doing it. And so stories, man, they go back generations. And yeah, those become gifts.
That's right.
Because those are lessons also that we give to each other as we tell our narrative, our story.
Mm.
And so, man, oh, man, think about this Thanksgiving and just wire into your mind the concept of traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do to make something significant happen that wires you to those around you?
Mm.
These are moments. You don't get them back.
That's right. So the T was traditions. We moved down to the H,
home,
which stands for home.
Home, you know, it's interesting. They say some 40-plus million Americans will travel more than 50 miles to our most favorite destination, and that's home.
Mm.
Why do we go home? It's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's what wires us together. There's something about family. Nevertheless, what we have the opportunity to do is to think about the significance of home,
mm-hmm,
and maybe put a clog in the wheel and stop that so that that pattern gets broken and we can create in that home for our own children and our children's children something that's beautiful, the way it should be, the way it should be ordained. I remember as a kid why home stuck in my mind. I used to watch this commercial on television. It was of this military guy, and he was on a plane coming back from war is what it looked like, and they would say, hey, it's our most favorite destination, whether it was American Airlines or United or whatever it was, home. And I just thought, you know what? Home should be the place that's safe, yeah, and that's beautiful, that's warm. It's where hands and hearts are fashioned. Mm. And that's where people know that they're loved. And they learn to love and be loved in the home.
Mm. That's something that I'm grateful for, is that you and Mom prioritize the safety and the security within our home to where, you know, we still love coming home. We still love spending time with you and Mom and creating memories and spending special moments together, not just on the holidays, but on weekends, golf outings, Lockeretta trips. I mean, we should be sponsored by Lockeretta, for goodness sakes. But I mean, it's a blessing to come home. The A then, the T, traditions, H, home. The A stands for, again, that attitude of gratitude. Speak again to the significance of it, and what does God say about it?
Yeah, it goes back to the whole issue of gratitude again.
Mm-hmm.
Gratefulness, learning to, quote, give thanks. That's what this is all about. That if you have that attitude of gratitude in everything, again, it will change everything and everyone around you.
Yep.
You know when you're around somebody who's grateful.
Oh, yeah.
When they're appreciative.
Oh, yeah.
And you know when people aren't appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? And when people have that attitude, that chip on their shoulder, and it's just like nothing's ever enough, you don't want to be around them.
Right.
But there's something about people who are appreciative,
mm-hmm,
and people who come and say, listen, thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, et cetera. They approach it differently, and so do you. Everybody
right.
does. I think it's the same way in life. You begin to, quote, see life like that. You just have a different step about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it just wires deep down in you where it changes how you approach everything.
Yeah, John Gordon, you already mentioned him. He always says that it's as easy to catch a bad mood as it is to catch the cold or the flu, but that can be the exact opposite too, where it's as easy to catch a positive mood. It's as easy to catch gratitude because gratitude is contagious. That's right. It really is. Dad, as we now transition down to the N, that stands for nation. I know we live in some unprecedented times. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. Maybe there's a lot of, you know, frustration, division, confusion going on. Why is it that we can still be grateful for landing or for living in the home of the free?
I think it's because it's wired into our roots. Mm-hmm. You know, Thanksgiving is an American tradition, an American holiday. And you go back to the Pilgrims and you go back to the Native Americans and more. They came together. Think about what they lived in and through. And in the midst of it, what did they do? They came together to do one thing, to give thanks to God for his goodness and his grace. You know that? And when you begin to think about thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of the Father concerning you. And you go back into the Psalms and you read Psalm 100 and more, you begin to see, wow, give thanks to God for he is good and his mercy endures forever. When you really realize that every perfect gift, every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow or turning, then you realize, okay, everything I have, everything I am, every opportunity, everything around me is directly related to God. I think it was Einstein who said this. There are really only two ways to live. One is to believe that everything's a miracle, or to believe that nothing is a miracle.
Right.
I choose to believe that everything is a miracle and that God is good, even in the midst of the darkness. I believe God weeps with us. And so as we press into him, we can thank him for being with us and that he will see us through.
Something I know about you, Dad, and I'll share with the listeners, is that, you know, Kinfolk is all about family. Family is so important because I know you're a family man and you've prioritized that. You've made that known to Megan and I, to Ben, to Evelyn, now to Olivia and Sophia. I mean, family is in your roots. I want you to speak to that, but also I wanted to just publicly again thank you for, you know, you're a dude who would fly out 6 a.m. to be home by 5 p.m. so you could pick me up from practice, so you could be at every game that I ever played in. Whether it was football, basketball, or baseball, you maybe missed 3 games throughout my entire career. And so that speaks volumes of who you are, and it also shows that you're not just talking the talk, but you actually walk the walk, and you still walk that walk each and every day. Why is family and kinfolk so important?
I saw a piece one time that said this: the only thing you can take to heaven with you are those around you. They're the only ones. And so it's the most important thing in the whole world. Dr. Dobson used to say, be there. In other words, when the roll is called up yonder, when it's all about heaven, will you be there? The only thing, think about it, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is what? Those you love, those around you. You can't take your job. You can't take your bank account. You can't take your car. You can't take your trophies. None of that stuff. The only thing you can take with you. And so when you think about kinship, then you think in this life, all that really matters in the end is who you loved and who loved you. And so if that's true, then how do we make a priority out of all that? And how do we move in to that place? One of the greatest griefs in my life is just to see people who live in aloneness.
Yeah.
Who have no one. Yep. They just empty, bitter. It's like, dude, that's not how I want to be. That's not it. And so that then gives birth to this piece in the kinship piece. Yeah, maybe the Griswolds are coming over for Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, here they come. Hey, they just pulled in. Get ready. Think about it just for a moment. What are we going to do in that moment? How about maybe for one holiday, you set aside your differences. You set aside your frustrations. And you saddle up together, open up the table, look him in the eye, have meaningful conversation. Maybe give forgiveness a try. Why not give grace a try? Why not be grateful in the midst of all that? And just see what happens. That's the beauty.
That's right.
Yeah. And aren't you glad that God does that with us?
That's right.
That he is tenderhearted, kind toward us.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what you're referencing there in terms of, you know, family giving something new a try. Like you said, putting, you know, your frustrations, all of those different things aside, and just for once trying to create a positive experience to move this thing maybe in a different direction than what you've been
and
doing.
And it may be the gift that that other person needs.
That's exactly
Nobody ever gave it to them.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? Because they were angry or frustrated or disappointed or discouraged, and they have pulled back themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Yep. The last letter then in that word thanks stands for the S, which stands for sacrifice. Dad, speak to the unspeakable gift and the sacrifice that Christ gave us.
Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In other words, the gift of Christ. And when you think about this life and what really, really matters, it's all about that gift of eternity and the goodness and grace of God every step of the way. You know, when you realize that you are nothing more than dust of the earth.
Yeah.
And that God thought you worthy, that he would give of his own son. That brings chapters in the Bible like Romans 8 alive. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not therewith freely give us all things? And Paul said, and this is beautiful, I'm persuaded there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not one thing. And so if all that's true, it's a game changer. This Thanksgiving, give thanks. It's that simple.
This Thanksgiving, make sure that you actually take the time to give thanks. Dad, thank you so much as always just for everything that you do for me. I love you more than anything. I am beyond grateful for you, not just this Thanksgiving season, but every day moving forward. I love you.
Love you too, bud.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles,
and so much more to go to, so you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Caring Council Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to caringcouncil.com. That's caringcouncil.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Just because you feel something strongly doesn't mean you need to act on it immediately. Emotional regulation is the ability to feel deeply without reacting destructively. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." Clinically, when your nervous system is flooded, your rational brain goes offline. That's why we snap, withdraw, or escalate. But the ability to pause, to breathe, and to soothe yourself is spiritual strength and mental maturity. It's not about ignoring your feelings. It's about stewarding them wisely. When you're emotionally heightened, practice the 3-3-3 rule. Take 3 deep breaths, name 3 things you can see, and speak 3 truths from Scripture. Let God anchor your nervous system before you act today. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net.